Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world what it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now, won't you tell me now? Stop lying!
race, creed or color, everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in bed, no more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. Wake up all your teachers, start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children,
teach the baby,
teach the babies,
teach the children,
teach the children,
teach the baby,
teach the children.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory for this awesome and wonderful evening. On this seventh day of our third month of 2022, we thank God once again for all the many blessings he continues to bestow upon each and every one of us. We pray that today was a good day for everyone. We hope and pray that God continued to order our steps and allow us to be able to be loving and kind and generous to others that we come in contact with, knowing that all the things that we do make a difference in our lives. And I just pray that God continue to keep us all on track and allow us to be a blessing and not a burden on each other. I pray tonight that you have come tonight ready to learn, ready to understand that there is a word in season tonight as we speak about and understand as oneness relates to the transformation of love. And I just pray that there will be some nuggets that will be imparted in your lives that you'll be able to use each and every day to help make a difference in all that you continue to do in life. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. This is your daughter, Tammy, by way, Father God of McDonough, Georgia, thanking you for yet another day that you give us an opportunity to be able to call upon your mighty name. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you help us all, Father God, be able to be better individuals. Give us the ability to look in the mirror and look at how, Lord God, things are moving in our lives. And if we are pleased, let us continue on that track doing the things that we are doing. If we know that we need some adjustments, let us make those adjustments to be the best us that we can be. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you will continue to be with all of the children that you've been trusted in our care. Father, I pray that you allow our children to use wisdom in all their doings. I pray that you give them an opportunity to lean and depend on you. I pray, Father, that you will cover our children, protect them in their goings and comings. And I pray, Lord God, that you will continue to cover each and every marriage that's represented tonight. Protect us, Lord God, from the evil one. I pray that you go and be with all of those that desire to be with a perfect soulmate that you have in store for them, Lord God, and just have not revealed it to them yet. But I pray through discernment that you will show them, Father, the soulmate that you have in store. And I pray, Father, that they will be able to come together, get along, love on each other, respect each other, edify each other, communicate in a way in which we know you ordained it to be, and that there will be open communication between the two spouses. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you will continue to go and be in the midst of allowing all of us, Father, to go out into this world and make a difference. Let our light shine so bright for others to see you in us. As always, Lord God, I just want to personally thank you for this awesome man of God that you blessed me with. Continue to be with us. Let us be able, Lord God, to love on each other, to get along with one another, to be able to respect one another, to be able to do the things that we need to do, to hold on to the marriage that you strategically put together. As always, Lord God, I just want to say thank you for another Monday night of allowing us, Lord God, to spread your good news to all of those that have come in contact with us to be able to hear it. I pray as individuals here tonight that they won't keep it to themselves, but they, Father, will apply it to their daily lives and watch their lives change forever. And for those that, Father, may not have an opportunity to be here tonight, but this message can be shared. And I pray, Lord God, that you give them all an opportunity to share this word in season to help make a difference in another individual's life. I pray, Father, that you continue to go and allow, Father God, each and every one of us, Father, to be able to embark on a new day tomorrow, that you bless us with, that we'll put you first in all that we do, and acknowledging that it was only by your grace and mercy that was able to see us through another night and allow us to rise early in the morning for another day. So we want to thank you in advance. Thank you on credit, Lord God, for all that you're about to do in all of our lives. Go and be with us. Allow us to continue to stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in your word, Lord God, because we know your word does change things. And I just want to say thank you for allowing us to get this word in our hearts and our spirits and be able, Lord God, to be the best us that we can be. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Praise God. We give him all glory, honor, and praise this night, as my queen has said, this March 7th. And we thank God for an opportunity to be here. We get a new month started out. The year seems to be moving, changing, transforming faster than I know we could ever imagine. We welcome you once again to this Monday Night Blog Talk Radio Show. This subject tonight is very powerful. The transformation of love. It's a transformation because whenever we think back and remember on meeting our spouse, the one thing that all of us have in common is that if we came together, we went through a process of change. We're not the same. We may think we're the same. We may say to ourselves, and we may say to others, I'm the same, but you're not the same. It's impossible for any human being to be involved in a relationship, to be involved in an organization, to be attached to anything that's outside of themselves, that they would be able to be the same. That ain't possible. Everybody is going to go through a change, a metamorphosis, a reconstruction, a redoing, whatever you want to call it. We know sometimes we see on some of these television shows that people go through a redo, a makeover, a changeover, whatever word you want to do. But in that process, what's involved is the change of that person, the modification, it's something about it. When we see someone that they go into a situation and they look a certain way, and then we're told that they're there to be transformed into something that perhaps they have never been. And we all seem to be so surprised when they come out. Perhaps it's a show where they're going to lose weight. Perhaps it's a show where they're going to wear their hair in a different way. Perhaps they're going to have some kind of change in their bodies. They're going to have some form of cosmetic surgery. They're going to go through the process where they are going to lose weight. Whatever it may be, the end result is that they have transformed. So many of us, the transformation that we'll go through is learning how to deal with this subject called love and this institution called marriage. Because somewhere along the way, the enemy became very successful in getting those things discombobulated, getting those things confused in the minds of people. And once we became confused in the minds of how we executed and how we shared what we believed love was, we became very efficient and proficient at demonstrating and saying things about love that we really didn't mean. We really didn't understand. And because of this misuse and the misapplication of what oneness is or what love is that transforms into oneness, we're trying to find our way back. Now, to be fair, we must say that we lived in a reality, in a situation. When we say we, we're always referring to ourselves, our families, and our people. Because we can't get away from it, regardless of how much we may attempt to get away from who we are. We can't get away from that. And so instead, we believe we should take the philosophy that we always represent more than ourselves. Now, regardless of what we do, good or bad, it will have an impact on how our family is viewed. And regardless of what we do, good or bad, and how high we go or how low we may fall, it's going to have an impact on our people. I mean, think about the news today. All of this stuff going on around the world, all of this stuff that's taking place in Russia and Ukraine. And we find that there's a WNBA star being detained in Russia, has been detained because of what some have said questionable substances in their baggage. Now, whether or not it's true is irrelevant at this moment. We think this is just for illustration purposes. But where you have a situation to where a person can be going onto a plane, a person can be coming back home, and then all of a sudden, in a twinkling of an eye, that vision of getting on the plane, that vision of going to sleep and then landing safely back home is transformed by an intervention by a dog and then by officials at an airport. And all of a sudden, that transformation that was fixed in your mind did not occur. A nightmare showed up. And now all of a sudden, you're caught up in a situation where, again, it doesn't matter if it's right or if it's wrong. The reality now is that it's all over everywhere. And now everybody is giving some kind of attention to that reality. So that whole process has been transformed. It's been changed. We may not think so, but the same thing happens in our marriages, in our relationships, in the love we find one for each other. Somewhere along the way, you saw your spouse or your spouse-to-be, and they saw you. And when you saw them and when they saw you, something happened. There was a change that took place inside of you. Something in you cried out that, there's something different. There's something special. Even though in your mind, you attempted to analyze and you attempted to put up a barrier. You attempted to say, oh, no, I'm not attracted to this person. Or, oh, no, it's just not a good fit with this person. Whatever it may be, you were transformed. Now, we know what the word has to say about transformation is that we are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we become the good, that acceptable, that perfect will of God. So see, when we become transformed into that perfect will of God, then we become that man, that woman, that husband, that wife, that spouse, that can then begin to come into full development, to go through a full phase of change. Well, we're then looking at changing everything about ourselves, because we begin to know, to learn, and to understand we need to grow and we need to develop if we want to experience everything that God has said is available to us. The number one thing we believe we must learn is that it is a continuous process. Now, some of us that may have business background, we remember back in the day when the whole quality movement began to take place in America and around the world. As a matter of fact, if we apply to the automotive industry, because Americans love their cars, they love their cars so much that unlike some of the nations around the world, the United States has not even really developed a rapid transit system that could compete with certain nations around the world. But we have such a vast land process and reality in America that we have learned to love our automobiles. And each year, some enthusiasts wonder what's going to be the change. Will there be a change in this model year? Will there be a transformation? Will something that happened that'll set apart this year's car from the previous year? And what are automakers other than transformers? Taking the same piece of what began at one time metal, today we know it's a lot of plastic, but they took the experience and imagination of man and has continually revamped, redrawn, modified, changed until now we have seen automobiles for some of us transformed from big old steel tanks rolling down the highway to very efficient modes of transportation encamped about a whole lot of sophisticated plastic. What a change. What a transformation. And those of us that are yet still here, we remember the stories that we used to hear about Ford himself when he said you could have any color car you desire as long as it's black. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm biased. I do believe black is a beautiful color in cars. Black on black, in black, when it look black, it's a beautiful car. So we do agree with Ford on that piece that black was the color, and I think it still is the color. But I don't want to get off track. But what we see that's taking place, regardless of how old you may be tonight, you have been able to witness that metamorphosis. You have been able to witness how they have changed the automobile, how even regulations and rules from the federal government required them to change. The car had to weigh less. The car had to use unleaded. The car had to use, in some cases, premium unleaded. Even now, how some cars are able to use ethanol in their configuration fuel. So all around us, transformation is always taking place. But the greatest changer, the greatest transformer that the world has ever seen is the concept of oneness. When two people, that we've stated many times from Genesis 2:24, when two people who don't know each other are able to come together and be merged in what the world calls love, we call it transformation. You have been transformed from that independent, single person, governed and reared by parents with sometimes different specifications, different understandings of what would make a young girl or a young boy an attractive spouse for someone in the future. That's not on your mind necessarily, but as a parent, that's exactly what you're doing. You are imparting and you are putting into place and you are giving an opportunity for your child to become the best transformer the world has ever seen. What's greater than seeing two people who don't know each other come together and in the process of time, the love that they have one for each other actually begins to transform them into becoming something that they know not of. So the main thing we want to get across tonight in this oneness, the transformation of love, is that each and every one of us, we are given this opportunity to be a transformer. And the way we become a transformer is that we are willing to give of ourselves. We are willing to make sacrifices. We're willing to say, not my way, but your way. Now, we know in the process of time, if we are willing to do that, that there will be moments, there will be opportunities, there will be situations when we too will get our way. And so tonight, we're hoping as we speak, as the words come out of our mouths, that the Holy Spirit, the conviction of God, will be tugging at your heart, and you'll be thinking about how did I transform, and in what situation was God able to use me as a transformer? In what way did I do those things that became the perfect will of God, knowing that the will of God is to bring us together, knowing that the will of God is to allow us to experience the fullness of not only the procreative moment, but the fullness of what it means when a man and a woman come together, no longer a dual flesh, but come together as one flesh and be fully transformed. And then in the physical, in the natural, what greater confirmation, what greater stamp, or what greater seal of approval than when God himself blesses us and we become parents. We become parents. We become guardians. We become those people given the responsibility to raise and rear another human being. That's what we see, the full transformation, where the seed of the man has now combined up with the egg of the woman, and out of that coming together, out of that experiment, we see transformation manifested in the flesh when the woman becomes pregnant. And then 9 months later, we see the evidence of the planted seed. Oh, what a powerful transformation what powerful examples we have even in life when we see how God prophesied himself and said, it is a blessing when you are able to do this. Now, we know unequivocally that we live in a world that has taken that reality and has crushed it, has destroyed it, has created surrogate systems that would undermine the very nature and the very reason of why it was created in the first place. Because we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And even though we know the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, we still are sometimes susceptible and we're vulnerable to the game that the enemy will play, to the games that the enemy will unleash and set free as it relates to us learning how to walk after being transformed by love. We're going to take a very short break, and we're going to come back and look at some of the examples that take place as we go through the process of transformation. Because all of us, again, if you're married and you've been married, doesn't matter how long it's been, 1 week, 7 days, it doesn't matter. You are in the process of being transformed, but transformed for the better. We're going to be short, bit right back after this short break. May God bless you. Get you some, it's time to get warm now. It's 80 down here in Atlanta. Get you some ice cream. Come on back.
Shoot away out there,
Amen, amen. To God be the glory, Jesse, for this awesome and wonderful topic. I'm grateful that as we think about oneness, we also got to think about the transformation of love. And I know that throughout each and every one of our lives, as we look back over our lives and we think about, you know, some of the things we did to get us to this point where we are, where we have fallen in love with our soulmate, and we know that this is what God has created for us. There are things that we must do. And when I think about transformation, when I think about that word, I know that things just cannot be the same. I can't operate the same that I did when and before I was married. I gotta now go through a dramatic change or a drastic change now where some of the things that I know that we've done in the past as a single individual, those are absolutely are prohibited now. When I think about transformation, I think about not only change, but I think about variation. I think about modification. I think about, at that point, evolution. These are things that I know we must do in order to make a difference and a major impact in our lives. And some may say, how do we do that? And where do we start? Well, it starts with something that we know that we call God, and that's love. You know, when you think about the transformation of love, it's a different kind of love when you initially meet someone, or the kind of love that you might have for a brother or a sister that may be blood related or not, versus the love that you will have for your spouse. And so when I think of love, I think of First Peter when he talks about in verses chapter 4 and verse 8, where it talks about above all, love each other deeply. Not just love each other, but love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin. Because we know the Bible already tells us, we read it, we understand it, and if you're going to read the Word of God, you must believe it. And it tells us that you're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to have trouble that's going to come along the way. You're going to sin, if you prefer me to say it that way. There are things you're going to do that's not going to be to the liking of God. There's things you're going to do and things you may say that may not be the liking of your spouse. It's just a known fact. None of us are perfect. We'll never be perfect. And I hope and pray that nobody under the sound of my voice feels like that they're always right and that they are perfect. No such thing. If we've already been told that in the Word of God. And so if we know that, and if we know that the love that we give deeply to one another, it'll cover a lot of those mistakes. You will be able to look over them. You will be able to go forward and talk about it versus departing and running from it. That's where the maturity of a strong, God-fearing man and or woman that is within the Bible, understanding the Bible, studying the Bible, applying the Bible, they do things slightly different. And so when you think about that, one of the things that I know when we think about, you know, love covers all, a multitude of sin, and when we think about that, we also need to know that love tends to overpower the imperfections that we all have, or the flaws, if you will. Because whether you believe it or not, you do have a few flaws. There may be some, under the sound of my voice, that feels, thinks, and believes they don't. But if your mate is honest with you, there are some flaws. But there are flaws that you can overcome and overpower as it relates to love. You know, and love is something that I know so many of us, we're giving that when we're born. It's what are we doing with it afterwards? And so when I think about, you know, you first find love from your parents at a very young age. Your parents love on you to the point where, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you was out somewhere and your parents or your mother or your father, depending on who you were with, kind of got separated from you, I can guarantee you at a young age, you're probably going to have a panic attack. You're going to wonder, where is this person that has been in my life since I was born that has showed me so much love? That's who you're going to look for, because that's who you're going to always feel protected by. These are the individuals that have the opportunity to teach you at a young age how to love one another, how to respond in various situations. And God forbid, if we have anyone under the sound of my voice, because I know there's some out there, if we have anyone that does not teach love to your children at a young age, you are setting the foundation. I hope you're not one of the couples that unfortunately find yourself arguing and fighting and, God forbid, physical fighting in front of your young children, because you are setting their foundation in the wrong manner. I'm reminded of today as I was looking at some of the news and I was reading some things on my phone of the news that was going on. I read about this five-year-old, and some of you may have read about it. Some of you may be a little bit familiar with it, out of Pembroke, Florida, an area that is close to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I read this article. It captured my attention because it said five-year-old sent teacher to the hospital. And so I didn't know what that meant, and so I began to read the article. And in the article, unfortunately, this five-year-old beat this teacher to the point where she was pretty much unconscious and had to go to the hospital. Now, most of you are wondering, excuse me, five-year-old? Absolutely. And so it's disturbing when you know that there is a five-year-old who was taught how to fight and what to do versus being taught how to love and how to talk through and work through some of the challenges they may have in life. This five-year-old student, kindergartner, was a student that caused a lot of havoc upon the classroom, always throwing tampers, always throwing things at other students and wanting to fight the other students. So we know that there were some things that just wasn't taught right. And one of the things I can almost guarantee in this house, they taught to unfortunately embrace hate and fighting over love. And so it's going to be very difficult for anybody to be able to overcome anything without love. And so when I think about love, I think about how important it is for us to understand and know that even so, you're going to be taught some of these things that you may embrace, you may not. But one of the other things you've got to understand, what Jesse spoke about, we must do our part to understand that we can't conform to this world. We cannot, because this world will turn us upside down. This world will cause our kind of havoc. This word that I speak about out of Romans 12:2, where it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So if you are going to be of the world, you won't experience this, what God has in store for you. He's got some great things he wants us to do. And one of the areas that you have to do is you have to change the way you think. You can't think as the world thinks. You have to do things a little different, just like this little five-year-old. If he was taught right from wrong at a young age, when the teacher corrects him the first time, he should be able to sit down, pay attention, and not be a disturbance of the class. That's if he was taught to do the right thing. We're not all taught to do the right thing. You already have other people that have already conformed to the patterns of this world. That's going to cause them to go down the wrong road. It's going to cause them to have issues and challenges that may be very difficult to get out of. As Jesse spoke about tonight, Brittany Griner, one of the things that she's battling, you know, doing things illegal and thinking maybe because of your status. Because she, to my understanding, is loved over in Russia, where she's been playing for the last 7 years. They're paying her big-time money. I heard one of the writers speak about if they only paid the WNBA women more money, they wouldn't have to go to another country on their off-season and play, and that's where they make the money. I know she makes $1 million a year over there playing in off-season. Whereas here, I don't know what she makes, probably 150, maybe 200,000 if she's lucky. So that is a challenge, but she's allowed herself, others have allowed themselves, when you unfortunately allow yourself to conform to the world of, to all of what's going on in the patterns of this world, it's going to cause you issues. And so with that in mind, I want to remind us that our life and our marriage can't be based on the world standards. So if you're basing your marriage right now on the world standards, you're going to go down an ugly downward spiral that's going to be out of control, and it may be very difficult to pull your marriage back together. So you cannot do that. We need to allow God's word to transform our minds and shape our thinking. That's the only thing we should be thinking of, because we know if God's word does it, we know that we're in good hands. And I know God's word will not return void, and I know God's word will go and accomplish everything that it is set out to accomplish. So use God's word to go forward. Don't worry about anything. Instead, let's do what God tells us to do. Let's pray without ceasing. Let's do our part to understand that when you see something is not right, address it with your spouse. Because if you don't address it, you allow it to build and build and build. And how many of us know that after a while, I don't care what it is, you're going to explode. That's just like any time you're putting air in a balloon. And you know you kind of want more. You want a little more. You want a little more because it gets bigger and bigger. And before you know it, you put too much air in there, that balloon's going to bust. Same thing in your marriage. You put too many issues on top of one another. One day, you're not going to be able to handle it. And you're really literally going to bust wide open with things that you are going to regret, whether it be a figure of speech, whether it be physical hands, whatever it may be. God forbid, I hope it doesn't. That's why we give you these nuggets, to help you to be able to understand that you are human. You can only take so much. So don't ever let it get so bad that you still think and believe you can't handle it. You're going to blow up. You're going to say whatever you want. You're going to do whatever you want. And then you may be causing your marriage to be in such turmoil that it may not be any ability to return. And we don't ever want that to happen. So whatever you do, allow yourself to understand Philippians 4:6, where you're going to always pray without ceasing. Pray for everything. It don't matter what it is. We just want to talk to God. We want to let God know what we need him to help us with. We want to thank him for all the good days and the good things that he has done. Because guess what? The more you think about those good things and the more you appreciate it, the more you are going to be excited to do the next good thing, because it brings you joy. And if something brings you joy, you want it to be around as long as it can. You have choices that you can make. You can make decisions that can help turn your life around for the better. And then when I think about even Jesse, when I think about Ephesians 5:21, it brings me to the next portion that I think we got to include in everything we do as an example. We have to submit one to another out of reverence for Christ, Ephesians 5:21. You know, and sometimes people always say, well, the men always say, I got to walk behind them as their wife, and I got to submit to them, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. Well, let me just say to you, Ephesians 5:21 got it right. Because you will believe, but trust me, you each spouse has more than enough to share what God has gifted in you. You all have gifts and talents that each of you can learn from. And if you get to the point where you can't learn from your spouse and your spouse can't learn from you, you're in trouble. Let me just tell you that. Because God strategically put you together as a helpmate to one another. And he wants you to help each other. And so that's why Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You're not submitting out of the world's standards, like, oh, I'm controlling you, I'm running you, I tell you what to eat, I tell you what to wear, I tell you where you can go, I tell you what you can drive. No, that's not what God intended, even when he spoke about, you know, that husbands, wives, submit to your own husbands. That's not what God was talking about. But see, God also told our husbands to love their wives as he loved the church, as Christ loved the church. And so there's sometimes there's a conflict in there. We want to pick and choose the word of God, the scriptures, to apply to our lives, but we can't. We got to understand that submission is, you got to understand, is controversial to so many Christians because they feel, think, and believe that it is totally different, but it can be made out of something great and something mighty and something powerful, especially when a wife and a husband will place the needs and desires of his or her ahead of their own. And that means you're going to submit to one another. You're going to do whatever you can to be kind and generous to one another. That's where you're going to have great success. And when I think about submit, when we look at it in the English dictionary, the verb setting tells us, submit has a basic meaning of submit oneself, be submitted or subordinated, obey. And that means to each other. Okay, guess what? What if you're obeying your spouse and your spouse is telling you, you know, when you go to work, don't let no one be disrespectful. When you go to work, don't let another, the opposite sex, naturally nowadays you got to say even the same sex, be disrespectful and touching you in areas of your body that's your private body that you do not have to honor and you need to put them in their place. Well, your husband is now instructing you on what to do when that happens. We have to understand that you're working together because he wouldn't know that if you didn't come home and say that I might be a little uncomfortable around my boss because he's doing this, that, and the other. Well, in that communication that is going to be key in your marriage as you do your part in the transformation of love, you will understand when you talk about these things what you should do to overcome them. And so last but not least, Jesse, I will say that, you know, one of the things that we have to understand, I speak about this, and one of the examples is forgiveness. And when I think about Ephesians 4:31, where it tells us, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. There's so many times, unfortunately, that we do not do our part to forgive one another in the manner in which we know Christ Jesus spoke about. And when I think about kindness and forgiveness, when I think about, you know, marriages and how marriages can look, if we simply made it a daily, not just a weekly or monthly, but as a matter of fact, every hour if you have to, a priority to show kindness and forgiveness to each other, because I really don't think we do that enough. I don't think we realize when we are not being kind to one another, where we might be impatient, where we might, you know, give a look to our spouse that we already know that the spouse is going to be upset if they see that look, but we might do that. Or it may be where we might say something, they may upset our spouse. You know, you're not being kind at that point. You know, you're getting to a point where you're going to have to ask for forgiveness because someone is probably going to say something along the way. And you won't want to get to that point if you can help it, if you make it your daily priority to make sure that you show the kindness and you're able to know that they're not perfect, your spouse is not perfect, that you're able to forgive at the drop of a dime so that you can move forward in oneness in the way in which God made it and managed it to be. Even with the transformation of love, you already know how you went from puppy love to true love and you're able to get married. Just think about that when you're going through some challenges. You didn't fall in love at first sight. Some of you may have, but you may have just with your eyes, but you didn't truly fall in love with your perfect soulmate until God was able to show you a few things about one another, till you were able to go through a few things with one another. That's when you were really able to show and transform into that true love. Don't let it stop now. Keep transforming, keep going, and keep doing what you need to do this thing that we call in oneness, the transformation of love. It's in you. We pray that God allows you to use it and do all you can. May God bless you, and may God bless your marriage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Powerful.
That's all I can say after that prophetic utterance. Powerful. I just praise God for the wisdom. And if you're here listening live, you have been blessed with the prophetic utterance from my queen on oneness, the transformation of love. Now, I know you may be sitting down thinking, well, what do I need to perhaps give consideration to? What do I need to look at from a standpoint of change and of doing something different? It could be you just need to do more of the same. You need to do more of those things that you've been doing that you know in your heart was something that your spouse enjoyed or something that edified them. Ephesians 4:29 is always appropriate. You know, speak words of edification. Speak life. Don't speak death. Now, as you say, Tammy, we all fall short of the glory of God. But the good thing is when we understand oneness because we have been transformed, you know, we begin to be honored to be able to humble ourselves, and we're honored to be able to submit to the leadership of the Father, and honored to submit also to the leadership of each other, because we have come to know and to understand that there is more power when you unite two with a common goal. There's more power. And so we submit ourselves in this regard, knowing that there will be times when we may have a disagreement on a perception of a situation. But it's only a disagreement on a perception of a situation. Because most of the times, if you take time to investigate deeper, you'll find out it's just a perceptual difference. It's not a real hard line, draw the line in the sand situation where you're saying, I'll never change my mind on that. No, when we get to that point where we say, I will never change my mind on that, and when it relates to the relationship you have with your spouse, then you may want to give that some adjustment. Because, see, God can use all of us in such special ways that we need to do everything we can to make sure we stay fully committed to the Father. And the way we stay fully committed to the Father is to make sure we adhere, that we implement, and we deploy those things that we know are contained in His Word. For God has said that if you study this Word day and night, and if you observe to do everything written therein, you will have prosperity and you will have great success. So one of the things we have to ask ourselves in this current dispensation, are we following the dictates and the principles of the Most High God? Because if we are, we know and understand that in due season, we're going to be able to obtain and to enjoy a harvest unlike anything the world will ever see. See, that's why we don't conform ourselves to how the world may want us to be conformed. Instead, we create transformation by being the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Well, how do you do this as we leave tonight? Love. It seems so simple, but it's so difficult and complicated. We live in a world where love does not sell tickets. Love does not give you a number one rating if you're on cable news. Love does not give you a number one rating if you're talking about doing good to other folks. But see, we don't want to use that kind of rating and that kind of assessment at all. We want to be rated, and we want to be assessed by the Most High. And we humble ourselves. And Tammy, when we're willing to do that, then we know unequivocally, without a doubt, there don't have to be any doubt anywhere whatsoever, that in due season, we will reap the rewards that we have been promised. So as we leave tonight, tell your spouse, I love you. Hold their hands. Pray for them continuously, always. Even when they may not be right there with you, don't try to just impress them when you're together, but pray without ceasing for them. Always see them in a good light. Know and understand you will have moments when you may not see things from the same perspective. But again, as your perspective grows, as your perspective changes, perspective grows, or spouse perspective changes, you will find that you will stay in agreement. Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you tonight. We give you glory. We give you honor as we come together, thanking you for an opportunity to speak to those here in the listening audience and those, Father, who have joined by the archives. We thank you, Father, for giving us an opportunity to come together yet once again. For we know and understand, Father, that oneness and marriage was your first ordained institution. And we know, Father, from secular statistics and from those information and information made available to us, that children, Father, who have lived in a home where oneness has been expressed, where the philosophy of oneness has been deployed, those children have a greater opportunity to make a major impact on this world. And so, Father, bless these that are listening here live now and those in the archive. We give you glory. We give you honor, Father. We thank you for allowing us to come together in this format yet one more time. This is our 13th year. We give you glory. We give you honor tonight. I thank you for my queen, and I thank you, Father, for our oneness, which is transformed by your love in our love. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You and our sister, Leah Killens, coming on at 9 o'clock. You have to dial back in to check her out. But have a great night. We love you. The next week, peace and love.
Agape love.